You got a cool radio intro for us today?
No.
Remember the one we were going to do last time?
Which one was that?
About the Carpet Queens?
I remember doing it, but definitely don't remember the rhyme that I had. It's all freestyle, dude.
No. Okay, so this was... Oh, man. What was the name? It's an old band. It's an old, like, R&B band.
Oh, I was playing the Isley Brothers, Between the Sheets?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, dude. All right, you gotta do it. Yeah,
that one.
You gotta do it.
I don't know, dude.
You gotta do it.
I don't know.
Google it. Just Google it.
All right, one sec.
And then share with audio.
It's just not going to have that same...
Yeah, so last time we recorded an episode, I think we spent an hour after the show, after we stopped recording, we spent a good hour of Craig just doing intros to songs. And I don't know why I stopped. I mean, you guys wouldn't have cared to listen to an hour of this, but maybe you would have. But man, we had some bangers, dude. But I think this was your best display of the breath. This best represents your breath of work.
It's at the top of my my portfolio as far as what I do best.
The radio intros, yeah.
And that's not saying much. All right, let me get it queued up here.
You guys, this is the longest intro ever, but trust me, it's worth it. Because I'm leaving this whole thing.
That is usually covered by one phone.
Dude, one second.
Foul. Miss the pedals. Riders ready. Craig just flipped the gate.
You didn't give me time to set up all my my audio here. Let me just see if this works. All right.
Like, you need time, Craig. You are a professional.
All right. Remind me.
Yeah.
No, don't remind me. I'll come up with something.
You want me to give you like a roundabout way? What you were saying?
Yeah.
Something about it's time to take your bikes off the wall, wax them down. Like.
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right,
we were good. We were an hour into like no holds barred Craig and Isaac, so I mean, who knows? Just see what happens. See what speaks to your soul.
Oh, that's good. What speaks to the soul? All right, everybody, here we go. Yeah, hey, everybody out there in BMX land, if you got one of them Carpet Queens hanging up on the ceiling, it's time to take it down. Get out a little wax and rub a little bit on that frame, y'all. Yeah, just like that. You know how to do it. Shine it up.
Hey, girl, ain't no mister. I
don't know. Do you want to do over? Because, I mean, that was pretty dope, dude.
I don't know if I want to do over. You want to try?
Yeah, why not?
You want to try?
No, oh, I can't do that.
Oh, come on.
Hell no, I can't do that. You can do that.
No, you got it, bro. You can do it.
No, I can't. It's just going to be you playing that song. Because, dude, when I worked for the radio, I didn't do that kind of radio. I did the let's go see if we can get them arrested type stuff. So, did I ever tell you the radio station called the police on me to get more out of a stunt?
Weren't you in a parking lot, like, doing something with cars or...
So, my radio name was Cousin Cletus. This is on the B93 Cruising Good Morning Show. And so, first we did a trashy Survivor, because Survivor was, like, the big thing when I was doing radio. And so, we did trashy Survivor, where... The radio, like you called in and basically said, yeah, I'm going to take this challenge. You had to live in a trailer for a week in a Walmart parking lot. And then while you were in the parking lot, the only thing you could eat was like Twinkies and Hostess and like the, what's like the generic Mountain Dew? Like Sierra. Like
I have no clue, dude. Sierra, I'm not the biggest like, soda fan. Yeah, Sierra.
Sierra Mist or whatever. I don't know. But it was pretty trashy. But then the one where they called the cops, dude. So it was like, this was back when people, like, every car didn't have a car alarm. Like, you didn't just buy a car and it came equipped with a car alarm. So mostly it was like the fancy cars had car alarms. You remember that transition?
Oh, yeah, dude.
From, like, nobody had car alarms to all of a sudden, like, it was just nice ones. And if it was, even if it was the nice ones, if it didn't go Viper armed.
Oh, the Viper.
Protected Viper by Viper. Armed. Yeah, protected by Viper. Please stand back.
Yeah. Dude, I remember that one. I was like, wow, that car talks to you. What's up, kid?
A talking alarm, dude. Yeah. Oh, man. Viper. But anyway, armed. So they sent me out to a parking garage at 9 a.m. when people are driving into work to try and I would basically the skit was I would tell the caller what the car I'm looking at was, like the make, model, give it a description. And the caller would say, yes, it has an alarm. No, it doesn't. So if they said either one, my job was to bang on this car, try and tilt the car, make the car alarm go off on the radio.
What they get? Did they get a prize?
They won tickets to like Summer Jam or something.
And here's a good old cousin Cletus out in the parking lot.
Yeah,
his hands on your car, shaking it. Right.
I could not. Dude, there were cars that had the blinking light, the red blinking light. I'm like, for sure this will go. Could not. I mean, dude, they're like, hit the car harder. Dude, I'm banging on these cars at this point, dude. I'm shaking it. One car, I reached inside this car's moonroof and waved my hand around the inside because I'm like, it's got to have some kind of inside then. No. So it was the biggest bomb ever. So what they did was they called the Modesto Police Department and said, there's this character downtown in the parking garage.
They gave me your location and everything.
They told them where I was, what I look like, what kind of car I drove, dude. And at the time I had stupid, tennis ball yellow hair. I literally look like a clown.
Yeah, you weren't too hard to find, were you?
No, dude. Oh my god. Anyway,
you guys want to hear
some tuning in? So
watch this.
Anyway, yeah, thanks for tuning into the Big Bike BMX podcast.
Yeah, hey.
Longest intro ever. But yeah, man. Just I don't know, what a week. It's been crazy. We'll kind of pop into some news.
Definitely.
Jacob Santos injured his ankle. Is that what happened?
I don't really know what happened to Jacob. I actually looked at a photo online on Instagram or whatever, and Jacob had one of those knee brace things on.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on here? So what happened to him?
I don't know. That's the thing. I saw him he's like new whip, and it was like the
knee scooter, right?
The knee scooter with, and I was like, give it like 2 hours. Nothing. I'll have Broke Boys BMX bars on it. Like I was like, customize it. Huh?
He had already started customizing it. It had like the Ride Out Supply decal on it already.
Oh, for sure.
So of course he's going to customize it. Nothing stays stock with Jacob.
No. So anyway, yeah, I thought maybe you might know.
No, I didn't see, but whatever happened, Jacob, we definitely wish you a fast and speedy recovery. You know, when you go as hard as Jacob does, you ride as hard as he does, I'm sure things are going to happen. And then we'll probably find out he was like, you know, mowing his lawn or something. I don't know.
Dude, yeah. Because like there's nothing that dude won't try. It's okay. So here's my Jacob story, dude. And you're very well versed in this. You and I used to talk off the air about like, what would be the coolest thing we could get Jacob to do? And I was like, we were like 360. First person to backflip.
Backflip, yeah.
Backflip a 29er. And I was like, it'll be Jacob that does it. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, it's one of those things, like you tell Jacob, you can't do something. And he is the, he's just like the, oh, okay. You hold know, like beer. Hold my beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll show hold you. Hold my merch real quick. You know? And like that's, cause, and it's like no one, he didn't get the memo that like certain things are too scary for big bikes. Like, I'm just going to bunny hop up this picnic table. I'm going to wall ride this, this ditch, sketchy ditch. You know what I mean? And like, it's, I mean, it's amazing to watch, but when you ride that way, dude, you're going to get hurt. I mean, I promise you, he would do it again.
You know, like, oh, totally. No, he's like, oh, you'd miss that one. I'll do it again.
Yeah.
You know, you watch guys like Jacob. You watch guys like Zach Lewis.
Yeah.
Dick Cheeseburger, and just people with that caliber of, you know, send it.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. It's awesome to watch. It gets me like stoked to even just go out and ride my bike. Like, I wonder what I'll try to do today. Maybe I'll go over this parking curb.
Right. Meanwhile, Rickard is doing a 40-mile-an-hour manual downside of Sac State.
Yeah. No, Rickard's one of them too, man. And they have a lot of fun, man. And that's what I like about it. You know, they're just stoked, having a good time. And it makes for great content and video. So, speaking of Rickard, man, do you know that Rickard and Damon, and I kind of want to get into this. You know what? I actually don't want to talk about that yet. Do you want to talk more news, or do you want to talk about your weekend last weekend?
Let's go. There's a couple more news items.
Okay.
Jacob also is picked up by Old Bones Therapy, big friends and sponsors of the show.
Yep.
Yes. Old Bones Therapy is probably like, it's the most legit like benefit product that does what it says it does, that I've encountered in a long, long, long time. Like those, the compression sleeves for my knee, priceless.
It really is, man. And you know what? I'm glad to see someone. And, you know, I think I'm just going to throw this out there. I think Jacob's in his 30s, you know, very early 30s. Yeah. But it's good to see a guy who is that young and rides the way he does, you know, a part of the Old Bones and therapy crew, and using the things that they have available to prevent, or at least to reduce any existing injuries or prevent any further injuries, or however you want to use it. And kids seeing that now, because it's like, you know, you and I talk, but it's really about, you know, don't try not to take the approach of I'll cross that bridge when I get there, as far as injury prevention goes.
Oh my God.
But try to take care of it now.
Yeah.
You know, and wearing compression socks or, you know, sleeves over your joints, icing your muscles and doing things like that. You don't have to be injured to start doing those things.
Yeah.
So Old Bones Therapy is a cheat code, you guys. It's a total cheat code. Isaac and I use it because, you know, we're helping ourselves with injuries and aches and pains that we have accumulated from over the years. But, you know, you can be a younger guy. You can be a guy who doesn't have any injuries and definitely doesn't want to have them as they grow older and keep, you know, being active in BMX. So yeah, take a look at it. Oldbonestherapy.com.
Love it. Love I like it. The cream too. The cream's up. What else? News wise, bikes are starting to come. Talk what to Sean. I saw Sean today from Phoenix Bike Company. Sent a photo of the new GT Performer. It's that raspberry purple.
Yeah, that Pro Performer.
Pro Performer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three of those that came, so that's good. They're getting multiples of a bike. It's a 26-inch, but I guarantee it'll be sold out by – it probably sold out today.
I was going to say, what time is it? Or what time did that come out? Because I like those. I mean, the bike looks – it looks clean. I love the color. And you're right. It's, you know, bikes are hot no matter what right now. And especially, you know, those bikes are going to, they're going to fly off the shelf.
Yeah. Trying to think of any other news that I saw this week.
Anything from Knight? Have you seen Knight Bike doing anything? They've been putting out quite a few pictures and stuff. You know,
So this is like not big bike stuff, but I bought a Flatland frame. And so with Knight, I know I was looking for I have to look up a cable hanger for my back brakes. And I saw Knight had some of that stuff. So, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. I'm trying to find a good color.
Hold on a second, buddy. I want to talk about this. So you got a new bike, a new frame?
I did. I bought frame. I bought one of the Colony Oz1 frames. It's a 21-inch top tube, but it's a 20-inch bike for flatland stuff. It's damn near the same look as the Ozone Method 1 frame that was the last frame I ever rode. And if I look at my life, dude, and I look at my like flatland journey, the last 2 years when I wasn't sponsored anymore, I wasn't trying to make anybody happy. I wasn't doing contests. I mean, it was just like riding because I liked to ride my bike. Like I'd call that like my freedom years, and the freedom years were all on that Ozone. So I have a huge affinity for that bike.
That's dope. That's dope, dude.
So Colony made a flatland frame that looks identical to the Ozone. They called it the Oz1.
It looks identical, man. Is all the geometry the same, Isaac?
No, it's got like new geometry, but it's good. I mean, it's got like a shorter back end. So I think that's going to be hard to get used to for flatland for me.
Yeah.
Because we grew up with these big back ends. So,
well, and check this out, you guys, if you've been listening to the podcast for any amount of time, or at least since the beginning, I can say that Isaac has definitely mentioned his experiences with the Ozone and wanting, you know, to get that bike back. And then, not too long ago, the Oz1 was kind of re-released and there was a limited number for sale on us. Maybe I think it was like Planet BMX or, you know, one of the, online retailers, and it sold out pretty fast. And I think we've even talked and had, you know, conversations on the show. It was like, if anybody has seen this bike, please let Isaac know. And so, dude, I'm stoked that you got to at least get your hands on the Oz1. I mean, it looks so clean, bro. It looks super clean. I've seen a few built up. I've seen a few guys we know have them, and they just look like a really fun bike. Yeah. So congratulations on that.
Yeah. And congratulations to you, because what's going to happen now is I do have a 20-inch flatland bike that I am not riding, and it's down at the bike shop. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is take the parts off of that bike, put it on my Oz1, and then essentially sell you the frame, fork, handlebars, and whatever off of the S&M flatland. It's the Intricate. Flatland frame and fork.
Dude, I am stoked. I can't wait. I have actually built that bike five times over in my head. You know,
take the forks off and see if they're signed, though. Take the forks off and see if they're signed.
Yeah, I've got to definitely do that.
I got the forks for my 22 from the same place I got. It's Cheap Goods. So, you guys, I bought 22-inch S&M forks from Cheap Goods BMX Gabe Weed store. And, I never noticed it until just recently. I took my forks off of one of my older bikes, and it says Chris Mad Dog Moeller like on the head tube, like on the steer tube, in Sharpie. Dude,
that would be awesome.
Yeah,
and check it out, bro. I haven't had a legit 20-inch freestyle bike, like legit. And when I say legit, it doesn't mean. I mean, I had a 1998 GT Performer, Pro Performer, and it was, you know, it was all decked out. It was great. So maybe I can call that. But this is like a bike, a frame that I'm going to build up where the geometry is definitely a flatland bike. So I'm looking forward to it. Appreciate you, dude, for considering me and thinking of me when you were going to sell that, because I'm sure you can get a really good coin for that. I'm just going to use it and ride the hell out of it. So
no, I'd much rather see someone ride it and have fun with it than.
Yeah. Can't wait, dude.
Sell it for an exorbitant amount. What else? I'm trying to think, was there any other news I saw this week? It's been kind of chill. We'll talk about the weekend.
Yeah, well, I do want to bring up, you know, I want to talk a little bit about Todd Lyons and SE Racing real quick. If you've noticed in the last couple of weeks, SE's done a couple things. Well, and Todd. So Todd sent out a ton of stickers to all of the SE crew riders, which I thought was really cool to hand out at rideouts or events or whatever. So each SE crew rider basically got like thousands of stickers to give out, right?
Yep.
And if you remember, dude, from being a kid, what was your most favorite thing to, well, as far as like besides the riding and stuff, it was like the merch toss, the sticker toss, right? Dude, so now
we've talked about this. Stickers. Yeah. There was a sticker economy when we were kids. Like,
yeah,
certain stickers held more value than other stickers. And right. Yes, 100%. So can you imagine how bad they get, how bad they get hit up? When they're out riding, dude, just like, do you got any stickers?
Well, okay. So when I've done rideouts, like let's just take Santa Cruz last year, I brought a ton of stickers with me and I pulled out, I wear like a fanny pack or whatever you call it. And I'll pull out a big wad of stickers. Everyone's like, can I get an SE sticker? Can I get an SE sticker? All right, here you go. So those went really fast. So now the crew riders have them. And then they did something else that was pretty cool. They had a little hashtag, I won't say a contest, but they wanted people to send in, like, basically, if you are holding a ride out event, if you are doing something in the community, let's hear about it. And we're going to pick 10 different people to send a couple thousand stickers to. So not only did SE crew riders get their stickers, but people who hold ride outs, who organize events and things like that, if they followed the criteria of the post or whatever, right? They got stickers too. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. So now local kids can get them as well. Even if the SE crew riders aren't in their local area.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, for sure. So
man, can you imagine getting free? Like I would not be able to say no. Like if I'm walking around and Damon's like, hey dude, you want some stickers? Yes, I do. And then if I saw like Rickard like 10 minutes later and he's like, hey dude, I got some free stickers. You want some? Yes, I do.
Sure thing.
Yeah. I don't care if it's the same sticker. Answer's always yes.
Yeah, definitely yes. We still like stickers. You're not too old. We're still kids at heart, dude.
Yeah.
I like stickers for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's, you know, if there's not any more current news that we can talk about, I definitely want to hear about, something that really got me stoked, was finding out that you, Sir Isaac, went on a ride out last week.
Yeah, dude.
Don't go on ride outs, but this one was a pretty good size one, right?
It was pretty big, dude. Yeah. Like, so usually it's just the kids and I going up and down the canal on the weekends. And then the Sunday before, Copper State BMX had their morning ride out. And so I was like, I looked at Brent. I'm like, hey, you want to go? Just, she's really into riding bikes right now. So I'm capitalizing on it. And so she's been riding the big flyer, the camo one with the pink. So she's really having a good time on that bike. Like she can go way longer and she's just like, it's more comfortable. So she's been into it. We went on that ride, the Copper State one. And it was, I think it's like 12, maybe 15 miles. It's not huge. You just take off. We go around this trail. We end up over at the Phoenix Cardinal Stadium where they play football, take a break, ride back. But this one downtown, dude, this last weekend, we got stoked on it, right? Bren, I was like, do you want to do some more of these? And she's like, yeah. So, you know, Sean's like from Phoenix Bike Company. He's like, hey, do you come into my ride out? I was like, your ride out? And he's like, well, it's starting out here. And so Cactus Cruisers was organizing a ride out that would take off across the street from Phoenix Bike, literally across the street from Phoenix Bike Company. And I was like, dude, yeah, I'll totally come out and ride. It'll be fun. So that was our date night, was the Cactus Cruisers ride out.
Mm-hmm. So Sean Spence from Phoenix Bike Company is doing, so there was, you did the Copper State and then you also did Sean's, am I right?
Right.
Does he call his anything or is there a name for it? Or Sean's is it just Sean's ride? Everybody gets
No. It's I mean, this it's Cactus Cruisers is who puts it on. But I say it's Sean's because it takes off from the bike shop.
That's dope.
Like it's literally across the street from Phoenix Bike Company is where everyone gathers.
Well, that's cool too, man. And I want to ask you something. I have a question about this. So living where you do out in Arizona, where it's pretty much super hot weather, almost, I would say what, 70% of the year?
It was 88 degrees today.
It was 80 degrees today. And here we
88,
are, right?
88.
Beginning of March. That's pretty crazy to think that it's already 88 out in Arizona, which to you guys is probably like, grab your parka. Let's go for a ride.
Yeah. It was a decent day. Yeah.
How much? So like when you guys have ride outs, like as you're approaching summer and during summer, those ride outs are like in 120 degree heat or somewhere between 100 and what, like 120? So like 12 miles in that type of heat. I mean, that ends up almost being like dangerous, right? Like, cause you guys can get dehydrated super fast and not even know it.
Yeah, dude. It's in Arizona in the summertime. It's basically bring lights, tubes, bikes, and water.
Right. Cause you guys are riding at night, correct?
Yeah. You basically, so instead of riding where someone will say meet at noon, that's where I envy you guys. Because if we do a ride out, it's like meet at 5:30 a.m. at this parking lot, because you have to do the ride before the sun comes up. As soon as the sun hits, the sun is what gets you, dude. It's a different kind of heat because the sun is intense here. Yeah. So like it could be 120 degrees, but if you go in shade, in the shade of a tree, it's totally bearable. It's when you're walking outside and there's no shade, dude, you feel it, bro.
Well, you were telling me like, when you were like doing some tricks out in the front last year of your house and you're like, bro, I landed on the ground. I had immediately jump up because I didn't want third degree burns. And I'm like,
True story. Yeah. Think about it. If it's 120, the temperature of the air, then think about what like the blazing sun hitting black concrete would, like when they say you can cook an egg, like they're not joking. You can cook an egg on the street.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, you have to jump right up, and then, I mean, your brake levers get hot because, like, I mean, they absorb heat, dude. They're just like aluminum metal, piece of metal that's black in the sun. Wow. Yeah, dude, it's awful. But you know, you ride in the morning, you ride at night, it's not so bad. Or you find a parking garage, you just got to drink a lot of water. So those dudes are, I mean, in the summertime, they ride early morning or after sundown.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what, dude, I'd love for more people. And if you guys are out there and you are going to organize a ride out and you're thinking about it, and you're not in like a major metropolitan area, and you live out in who knows where, the Midwest or somewhere out in Nevada or Arizona, tag Isaac and I in your post, man. We want to see what your rideouts look like. We want to see it start from day one, you know, because I'm so interested in how you guys do it. How do you set up your organizations? Isaac and I, excuse me, we've had big rideout organizers on the show, Tom Loughran from Santa Cruz, and we've talked to a whole bunch of people who, you know, have a legit setup rideout. And they've been doing it for a long time. I want to hear about, you know, what it's like setting it up. You know, what do you guys logistically have to go through, considering where you're at? Is there enough people? You know, I guess that wouldn't even be a question, Isaac. Like, is there enough people? You can go with two or three people.
Yeah. And I mean, look at Bigfoot Bike Life. If you follow them on Instagram, the cool fans of the show. But they're like, they're up by the Redwoods, dude, in California. Like big trees or whatever, way up there.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, there's no bike life scene here. Literally, it's just mountain bikes. That is it. And yeah. I mean, because I mean, they're in the birthplace of mountain bikes. Of course, they're going to be just, it's mountain bikes.
Yeah, definitely.
So they were like, hey man, you know, we, you know, I want it was the guy that was following because of the PK Ripper. And next thing you know, man, he's like, he heard the Tom Loughran episode. and decided, man, why not just try and organize something? He's like, when he told me about it, he's like, you know, I don't expect it to be, you know, something big or fancy. He's like, but we just get a bunch of families out on Saturday or Sunday, and they ride in a big parking lot, it looked like.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. I mean, they had like ramps and stuff like that. And it's just like their community ride day. And it's been fun to watch it happen.
I think that's fantastic. Like, you know, there's a guy that rides out in Stockton, and I know you know him. His name is Uncle Ruben, 69 years old. Last year, he did like 6,220 miles in ride outs and riding his bike, right?
Isn't he already like 3,000? He's already like,
yeah, it's unreal.
In 2021. Yeah. He's like 3 months in, and I think he's halfway to like what he did last year.
It's insane, dude. He does a ride out in Sacramento, where it's like Taco Tuesday themed ride out. Right.
Yeah,
so they totally have tacos and stuff and hang out, but everyone that comes out to his ride out, yeah, it's kind of bike life, but it kind of isn't. There's no, just like any other ride out, but this one really like exemplifies, you don't have to have a big bike, BMX bike, to be in the ride out. Like, people bringing out low riders and their beach cruisers and their, you know, self-made bikes and all that. It's just about a lot of fun, and getting together is really what it's about. And just having a good time riding your bike, whatever that might be. So
yeah,
our ride,
there's a lot of 20s on our ride. There was some new school guys. I got that video of that dude doing a hang five down Jefferson.
That was cool. Who was that?
I have no idea. I was like, I was too shy to ask him what his Instagram was. I didn't want to be that guy.
Wait up.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, dude, wait up.
Yeah, bro. Hey, bro.
What's your Instagram? Hey,
it's the old guy back here. Yeah. But yeah, no, dude. Yeah, there was a dude on a red line. It was like a classic red line. There's a dude on a 29 quad. I thought that was pretty dope. A lot of flyers, a lot of city ground flyers. But dude, I gotta tell you the best story of all. Oh my God. How did I not lead with this? Yeah, I had a great time on this ride out. Okay. So we are leaving the ride out spot. They're like, let's roll out. We leave the parking lot, we go up maybe 100 yards, and we're turning left in front of the football stadium. I'm sorry, the baseball stadium. We stop. I film around in a circle to film like everybody around me. And it's people yelling bike life. It's great. We start pedaling, and I hear like a bank. And then I hear my Bren go, babe, something's happening. Bink. And I was like, oh, it's her chain. So dude, I didn't even follow our own advice. So I put the pink tires. I got some pink Bozaks. I traded my black Bozaks for these pink Bozaks. Put them on her bike. Barely tightened up the back wheel, because I was tired, and I'm like, man, it's hitting the brakes, and I didn't want to troubleshoot if I had the brakes centered or if the wheel was centered. So I was like, I'll deal with it when I get, I'll just have Sean look at it. I'll be real honest. I was like, I'll deal with it when I get to the bike shop and have Sean look at it. So I told Sean, hey man, take a look at the brakes. Make sure the wheel's centered. So he fixes the brakes, doesn't check the wheels. Now, I didn't tell him the wheels were the nuts on the wheel.
Yeah, he said check tight. The brakes.
I told him check the brakes. He looked and you know, he looked on the wheel. He's like, yeah, centered. It's got to be something with the brakes. So he goes and tunes up the brakes, right? But anyway, so Bren pedaled twice off the line, and her wheel basically moved, like the wheel just boom. So I was like, instantly I knew what it was. I had a ratchet in my backpack. So I was like, pull over here, babe. So like a bad freeway cop, dude, I'm like making a left to get to the sidewalk so I could get to Bren and her bike, cutting people off. We flip the bike upside down. This is now, people are passing, right? Flip the bike upside down, put the ratchet together, loosen, pull the wheel, tighten, spin the wheel. Good enough. undo the ratchet, put it back in my backpack, stand up. No bike lights to be seen. No free wheel clicking, nothing. Dude,
they're all gone.
We are 150 yards into the ride out. And this is a new ride out. This is not a criticism of the ride out. But they didn't have anybody, they didn't have a Holman at the end of the at the ride out to make sure, like, we didn't, like, there no one stopped. My guy, like the reckless, the reckless soul. I call him Wreck. My guy Wreck was the only person that stopped. And like Bren looks up at the same time and she goes, "Thanks for stopping." He goes, "Yeah, dude." He's like, I see you move over and no one's stopping. He's like, "Man, perhaps I should stop." So he stopped. So then it was just the three of us, right? And we didn't know which way they went, nothing. And I'm like, I heard they said they were going to take the hill first. And there's an overpass that goes right over downtown. And dude, it's not a pleasant overpass. It's not like a gradual, you know, like.
Right. It's not
wheelchair friendly. Let's say that.
Dude, like, what was that feeling like? Like when, I know when you were flipping that bike over or you were trying to get to Bren and you're seeing this ride out pack just whiz by you. Were you thinking like, "Oh crap, I'm getting left here"?
No, not at all. It only
hit you when you looked up and there was no one, right?
Yeah. I literally just assumed that there was someone in the back that knew the route and it was like the back and was in communication.
Yeah.
I just assumed that.
It's now, crappy feeling, man.
So I was like, "Yeah, I heard they were going to take the hill." And so, dude, we just start, I mean, stand up, pedal, boom, boom, boom. Me, my wife behind me, and Wreck are bombing up this hill. We get to the top of the hill. It's big. So, dude, you can see a long ways, and there were no bike lights to be seen and no clicking to be heard. And I'm like, maybe they didn't go this way. And now we're bombing down the other side of the hill. And so he's like, and this is the first time they've ridden this route. So a couple things. They didn't tell us the route beforehand. Nobody at the end. Those are my big like learning. This is, and I think this is like, I think they learned it too. Like, cause the pack got split up somewhere halfway through the ride out, the pack split up. And got lost, and somehow they made it back like to a parking lot. But dude, for probably 10 miles, the first, I don't know, maybe 8 miles. I mean, it was just the three of us trying to pedal as fast as we could comfortably to try and catch up. And finally, Wreck gets a hold of his buddy and kind of gets an idea of like where they're headed, the direction at least. And so we finally, he's like, "I think I see lights up there." And so then we pedaled, like it was probably another, with stoplights and all that, dude, it was probably another 20 minutes, dude. We were catching him, but we caught him.
Oh, damn. Which is cool. I mean, you eventually caught up, but it was like panic mode for a minute, like, "Oh shit, are we going to catch this pack?" So you pulled a Craig, you know, people know that happened to me, and shout out to Homan and that safety crew down at the Subway 4130 series, because they actually had like a safety crew that, you know, made sure that they stopped and helped people out. But there was just like this, I think it would be like what you guys are feeling, but like I'm down in Los Angeles, downtown LA, Hollywood, and right out of the gate of the ride out, you know, I mean, I basically was in the same predicament as you, thousands of people gone. And I'm like, "Oh crap. I don't even basically know where I'm at. You know, I know where I started. I think I'm in Hollywood, but I really don't know where." Right. And when I did that ride, you know, the what to expect on your first ride out video the other day, one of the things I mentioned in there is like, "Yo," and I've learned this just from experience, drop a pin where your starting point is, even if, you know, you think nothing's going to happen, because you definitely want to know, like, "Wow, if I get separated from the herd, dude, and nobody's with me and I don't know where I'm at, I got to get back," you know? Right. So that was kind of crazy, but no, at least, I mean, I'm glad you guys went out on a ride out and you know, you got everything fixed. At least, hey, dude, cool that you had that socket set with you. So you know, you brought your tools with you.
Our tools, yeah, I brought tools. I mean, dude,
fix the bike. So
honestly, dude, like it was an amazing night. Like I can't even criticize like the ride out. You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't have thought to like, hey, is someone doing, you know, someone going to be in the back? You know, maybe we should we tell them where we're going? Like, I mean, my stoke ended, like stopped at like, they organized it. They said, hey, come out and ride. And they got a lot of people to come out and ride. And I was like, this is it, dude. I'm stoked. But shout out to Rec, dude.
And people,
if Rec, I just got to say this, dude, if Rec wouldn't have stopped, I probably would have turned around and went home. Cause I was like, at that point, like, I'm not trying to take my wife and I on some, you know, adventure, just the two of us in downtown Phoenix. You know, I've been like, yeah, let's just roll home. But
yeah, you know, I think it's just, at that point, it's
yeah. I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, it's just a good lesson learned for me. Because I'm the type of person that's like, I'm not going to look and go like this group should have been better organized. And maybe it's because we're old school, dude, but I'm like, I should have been better organized. I should have been better informed. You know what I mean? It's the same thing when someone, like, something breaks on a bike, people are like, call SE, see it, they'll warranty it. And people like will ask me like, what are you going to do? Like you have pegs and you have chain tensioners on your PK ripper. What are you going to do if the axle strips? I'm going to go buy a new axle. I'm not going to tell Todd Lyons. Because I broke that. You know what I mean? Like, how many insurance or how many warranty claims did you turn in as a kid? I don't know anyone that ever turned in a warranty claim.
There wasn't.
We just rode our bikes. Yeah. So anyway, different time. But I mean, I wouldn't have changed anything. Like if anything, I would say it's my responsibility to know like the route ahead of time and ask what the route is going to be. And it, you know, it's my responsibility that the bolt wasn't tightened. It's not Sean's. It's not the ride out people, the organizers, you know, responsibility to, you know, make sure I'm going to be okay. So
well,
I look at it
out
like,
too, dude.
I just look at it that way.
Yeah. When you go on a ride out, dude. And I mean, I even said like, get a hold of the ride out organizer and ask him, you know, what the route is or how long or, you know, all those things sometimes. And I would say the majority, they probably don't know exactly what the route's going to be. I mean, they may know their stops, but you know, like usually in Stockton, man, I'm not saying they don't know, but, it's not always the same A to B points, you know, like from here, the meetup points, usually the starting points, generally the same area, and you make your way back to that starting point as your ending point, but the routes change, you know, different scenery, different. And sometimes, and I would guess that it's on the fly. It's like the guy who leads the pack or the rider who leads the ride out, knows how to get to like, say the first stop, the skate park or the convenience store or whatever. And it's like, this time I'm going to go this way through this neighborhood. The next time you think you're going that way to the same stop, you might go a totally different route. So,
yeah,
but it, you know, it's okay to ask.
Yeah. You know, and dude, here's what happened. New. Yeah. I mean, well, here's what happened at what I would say is the midway point is where we caught up to them. It's a big parking lot. Lots of wheelies going on, lots of footwork going on. And that was really cool to see, dude, everyone just going off. But, before we left, Sean from Phoenix Bike Company, yelled out to everyone, hey, you know, gather around, and then told everyone, this is the route we're taking back to the parking lot. So if you get separated, because they got separated, if you get separated, then, you know the route at that point. So it was even like, and then Dave, like, you know, Dave, Curb Jumper Dave, my buddy, he even like yelled out and made sure everyone knew what the route would be. So like on the fly, we picked up and pivoted like what we were doing. And like, it, I mean, dude, it was an amazing time. I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change
actually,
a thing.
Actually, called Sean. I didn't know he was on the ride out. And I'm like, Sean, what's up, dude? And he's like, what's up, man? I'm riding my bike. I'm like, cool, cool. And we were talking about something for a second. I'm like, is Isaac with you? He's like, yeah, I just don't know where he's at.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
because we're lost.
Yeah. I'm like, when you see him, tell him I said, what's up? I had no clue.
Yeah. That dude, I even got it on video. Like, I did a selfie video because I was like, man, I want to remember this. You guys, so I have this thing that I like to do. Sometimes I do it in front of people. Sometimes I don't. But I will do like a little video journal to myself. Like I told Craig, you know, dude, before you go and you go see R.L. Osborne, you go to his house, you know, take out your video camera and record and just be like, you know, think of it like a time machine. Hey, young Craig, this is old Craig. You're about to go into R.L. Osborne's house, the R.L. Osborne. You've talked to him before. You've interviewed him. Like, just capture that thought, you know, on video. I'm a big fan of that. And so, dude, we were riding, and I'm like, I need to journal this, dude. So I'm like, we got lost on our first ride out. And I was like, and the only person that stayed was Wreck. I'm like, follow this man, the reckless soul.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude. And he's got some dope bikes, dude. He's a dude. He's been in the YouTube chat, and he's got like he's got some Colts, and the Colt with the army green and the four piece wires. That's his.
Dope.
Yeah. He's got some sick bikes.
Dope.
Well, how was your weekend?
Oh, weekend was good. so
we start with your two rideouts. Cause it was like,
yeah, I went to a few, both in Stockton. It was the same weekend you were just talking about, on your ride. I went out to Stockton, I hadn't been out in a minute. So I was like, all right, excited.
Well, come, I want to hear this, but did you have one in like your neighborhood, right? You like started like a little community ride. Does that count or?
Yeah, I think it definitely counts. I didn't start it, but, I'll get to that one because one's kind of in between. So I did Stockton, it was kind of like got back into the ride out thing after being off for a couple months. Thought it'd be a good time to go out there and just, you know, I did a, you know, what did you call it? What to know on your first ride out what to expect. And I got advice from Damon and Matt and all these folks that I talked to and just had a good time and spent a lot of quality time, like talking to people, interviewing them. So there was that kept me busy, right? Beautiful day out in Stockton. And then we did, around our neighborhood, we did a ride out, just kind of like grassroots, dude, really small, maybe 20 people.
I love that.
And surprisingly, Matt Rickard called me and said, dude, they're doing this ride out in your neighborhood. He had to call and tell me that they're doing a ride out in my local neighborhood.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I was like, cool, come out. And so he did, and Damon showed up in the bump box, and you know, people were really excited to see those guys show up, and I was too. So that was really
I would be like, me too. I would be very excited to see the bump box fan pull up.
That's always good to see Damon and Matt. So
yeah.
And the fact that, you know, two big SE crew riders. Oh, no, don't let me forget, Rosie Dayton came out as well. So Rosie was out, Rosie, Damon, and Matt. And so three SE crew riders.
Three of them, yeah.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome. And just rode around my neighborhood. Like, I actually knew where I was. Like, if I broke down or something happened, I kind of could get myself home, no problem. And then last weekend, went back out to Stockton and did, Stockton was having what's called a Peace Day event. It was really neat, a really big community gathering at this park. And they had they had food tents and they had motorcycles there, you know, really nice bikes. A lot of people, we had a bike life contest, which was like, skills competition, you know, they were doing wheelies, hand drags, swerve competitions with cones out in the parking lot, pedal drag. And we had a best bike event, which I judged, and, they gave away trophies and everything. So it was like,
you judged the bikes.
I judged the bikes, man.
Was really cool. Go on. What was your favorite bike you saw?
Well, so I got to give a shout out to my boy JD out in the 209 with Port City Wheelie Crew. So he gave me, he asked me if I would do a kind of like a guest judge of judge thing for this contest. And I was like, for sure, dude, JD's my boy. And I'm like, yeah, I'm down. So
yeah. Shout out JD209.
Yeah. JD209, man. So after the bike skills competition, we basically had people come up to me during the day and give me their names. Hey, I want to put my bike in this bike show and all this. And I was like, all right. So I really didn't, I mean,
did you get a bribe? Did anyone try and bribe you?
No bribes, dude. This was all legit. These people's bikes were all legit. I mean, let me tell you something, bro. It's one thing to think like, okay, I'm going to judge a bunch of bikes, but when they all show up and they're like, this bike is in, I want to put this bike in. You're like, oh my freaking, you know, this is going to be hard. And it dude.
We need to work on your image management, because that just means people view you as someone that they can't come to and try and buy, like buy your vote. There's something about you that says, there's just something about your face that says can't be bought. I would have tried to bribe my way into that nicest bike.
Hey,
with a bucket, dude, I would have showed up with a bucket and just been like with a big spring on it. Boing.
Anybody that says they don't have a price, man, I'm not that guy, man. No, but no. I was trying to be, you know, as fair as I could, obviously, because it meant a lot to these people that they were putting their bikes in. And every one of these bikes that was entered into this show was a banger. They were hot bikes, dude. And so lined them all up. And
like bullseye profiles type.
Oh, dude, lined up. Just everything was, I mean, there was custom builds. There was bikes that were just what I call dressed up and had bullseyes and everything. I mean, everything was just on point. Right. So I think it was like 17 entries or 20 entries, and we lined them up, and I just kind of went down the line, checked them out. Maybe talk to the builder a little bit. Oh, what, you know, tell me a little bit about your bike or whatever. Right. So anyways, long story short. So I looked up and down the bikes, finished up my like first walkthrough. And then I was like, all right, I told Damon, I'm pulling 5 bikes out of this lineup. So I went, I just pointed at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, lined them up. And I even looked at Damon, dude. And I was like, what do you think, man? And he's like, this is your judgment, dude. So it was like all on me, right?
Oh,
and,
man.
And get this, Isaac. Like, we're in a parking lot, bro. And it's not just 17 people standing there. There's hundreds of people in a huge circle in this parking lot watching this go down. And I'm like, oh, pressure's on. Right. You know, I was going to do the thing like, you know, I stand behind the builder and I put my hand over their head like, this one, you know, let me hear it from the crowd. This one. This, and I was like, I'm just going to make it not.
That's popularity contest. You can't do that.
Nah, I didn't want to make it a popularity. So I want to be impartial. Anyways, 5 bikes lined up. And
were
I
you
just
scared?
Spent,
were you scared being surrounded by
hell
those people?
Hell no, I'm not scared, bro. I was just wanting to give everybody a trophy, because each one of those bikes had something about it that I liked.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like, you know, there was only one trophy. There was no runner up. It was like best bike. That's it. So it's like, how do I even tell any of these 17 people, hey man, your bike's not going to get best bike, but it's a competition and it's my judgment. It's what I like. Right. And any of these 17 could have won easily, but here we are anyways. So I looked up and down the 5 finalists and Damon announced it. Yeah. These are the 5 finalists when Craig's going to pick a bike, blah, blah, blah. And so I saw the one I liked and handed the owner a trophy. And, man, I went up to each one of those people. I was like, I love your bike. This is what I like about it.
Wait. Craig.
Yo.
Craigery.
Yo.
You can't just end your story and not tell us about the 5 bikes. I mean, like, that's.
Okay.
You just described your night without describing the girl you were talking to.
Okay. I'll do my best to remember the 5. Okay. So,
Or just the winner.
Okay. Well, we can do that. Which one do you want?
Tell me things you remember about the bikes that you liked. So if the builder's listening, they know, oh, you know what? Hey, I might not have picked your bike. I'm just hoping that one of those guys is listening, because it'd be like, you know what, dude? Hey, I didn't pick your bike, but I really thought like the gold hubs on this one bike were dope. The color scheme. You know what I mean? Give the listeners a insight into your brain.
So some of the bikes that I remember, there was one with like almost like a Louis Vuitton pad set on it. It was gold and it looked really clean. I believe it was a fat tire bike, like a fat ripper that got converted. That was really dope. This one kid in the finals had a 2010 white, all white big ripper with blue decals, had it really cleaned up. It was super, super cool. Very clean. You can tell he was really proud of his bike. And I even told him afterwards, I'm like, bro, it was really hard not to choose your bike, 'cause that is so clean.
Didn't JD drive to Oregon to get one?
He did, man.
Yeah,
he did
last year. Speaking of JD, yeah.
2010 big rippers are hot, dude.
They are, dude. Carry on.
Lisa Perez, Jason and Lisa, and this was Lisa. Her bike made it into the finals. It was a chrome quad angle, bro. Oh,
my God.
Profile, dude, sprocket, completely chromed out, right?
That bike is
so fly. It's super fly, dude. Who else was in the finals? B-Dank had his Geronimo.
Oh, that's cruel.
The G2. Yeah.
I see where you're getting at, dude. The pressure.
Yeah. No, I mean, you couldn't pull that bike into it, right? So he had his red, white, and blue, you know, American flag theme on it type deal, stars. And it was beautiful. The bikes, I mean, you had to like cover your eyes when you walked by, because the chrome was so show chromey. It was insane. And it's just, anyways, and he had another
and
bike.
And he rides it.
And he rides it. No, he rides his bike.
Yeah.
You know, he rides all his bikes.
I was going to talk smack and be like Carpet Queen, but actually I know for a fact he rides that bike around. So
yeah, definitely. And then B-Dank's girlfriend has her bike in there. It's a gold OM Flyer, a 2020 OM Flyer with anodized purple parts all over it.
And I've seen that bike. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got custom pinstriping on it. It's got, I mean, it's just dialed. It's a 26 nice. Inch. It's super dialed.
Nice.
Can't remember the other bike that was in there. Notable mention though was Damon had built this scraper bike, dude. It's on a quad angle frame. It's got a pair of front forks as the rear. He's got them welded in the back. So this bike's on like sits on front and back.
Was he riding forks. This on his Instagram?
Yes.
And the two thing bump boxes. Is
like 6 feet in the air.
Yes.
It's got like four, like, I don't know, maybe like 2.5 foot tall handlebars on it, custom made handlebars. It's got a little platform in the back that holds two bump boxes. I mean, the thing is just,
how does he get on it?
Dude, I don't know.
'Cause he rides it. I've seen it ridden.
No, like I know that they have to like step up onto something and then get up on the bike. It's crazy.
That's right.
When when they're riding it,
yeah,
they're like 7 feet up in the air, bro. Maybe 8 feet or more.
I would be scared.
Oh no. I was like, all right, you're up on it. How do you get off this thing? But anyways, so many cool bikes in this competition. I'm down to the five. I'm looking over and over and over. And dude, I hand the trophy. You want to know who I handed it to?
I hope it was Lisa Perez.
I wanted to. It definitely would. It was one of my top five. I handed it to the gold OM Flyer.
Oh, okay. I'm glad.
The gold and anodized purple. It was so clean. BMX bike. It's the OM, dude. I love OM Flyers. It had its own style. It just stood out. And all the bikes.
I'm glad you did that.
This is the one that I liked. And I'm the judge, bro. Yeah. I get to hand out the trophy to the bike I like. And I bet you somebody else have been like, nah, that one or that one. And they would have had total ground and legs to stand on, right?
Yeah. I would have gave it to the Chrome Quad. Because I've seen it. It's a beautiful bike. But that's me. You know what I mean? That's bringing my own wants and dreams, because I want one of those bikes. So of course I'm going to be like, it's Quad, it's Chrome. Oh, damn. Yeah.
Oh no, it was tough, dude. I was kind of sweating there for a second. I'm like, man, how do I even pick?
Yeah.
But
B-Dank bikes on another level. So I don't even know that you can like, there should be a class above like the humanly achievable realm. And then it'd be like that where people like B-Dank, build their bikes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like bikes you'll never have.
Yeah. Just like a grill builders, like a grill builder type level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause like, yeah, like that dude's builds are, his hubs, I think, cost more than my whole bike.
Yeah, it's
with all the builds, with all the upgrades I've put into my bike. Yeah. With all the upgrades is probably what BNX spends on custom hubs. So,
exactly. Now, good time. Shout out to everyone in Stockton in the 209. That was a part of the Peace Day event. Man, you guys put on such a great community function, a lot of awareness, a lot of good music, good food, and good times. So, I had a lot of fun.
Dude, that's really cool. I would have been stoked just to see BDank's bike, just to see it in person. I'd be like, I'd be up like a spelling bee. Can you pedal backwards, please? Can I please hear the free will?
I'd like to. You know what I like about BDank, besides his amazing bike skills and being just a really cool guy? Like every time he's had a bike that he's showing me, his first thing is like, here, ride this, ride it. I'm like, all right, cool. Thank you. You know, it's not like, hey, can I ride it? It's like, Craig, ride this.
That's so rad.
So he's very generous and it's his bikes do ride really well.
That's how you can tell someone grew up in BMX. Cause I do the same thing. If someone if someone looks at my PK, I'm like, dude, you ride it. Go ride it. Be prepared to not like your bike you ride now, but you can ride it.
I told him I think with his new Geronimo, I was like, dude, that was so smooth. After I rode off, I was thinking about putting it in the back of the truck and taking off. And he was like, right.
Yeah, dude, it's nuts. Yeah. And props to those people that build custom bikes, man. I'm stoked you found your passion. There's a lot worse you can spend your money on.
Oh, totally, dude.
I think it's a cool hobby. I'm starting to get more and more into it.
You know, it's like doing that bike event, bro. It just made me appreciate people's self-expression and what they want to put into a bike and how they want it to look and feel, because it literally is an extension of either who they are or, you know, what passions they have for their bike. Yeah. And I can appreciate all of that. You know,
I think that's what I learned. I learned from going to my two little rideouts was I learned because I saw how excited people were about their built up bikes, where, you know, before I started going out in big groups, it was very easy for me to be like, ride your bike. I never said you shouldn't, but it was like, ride your bike. You know, your bike was made to get dirty and dusty your bike was made to be ridden.
Yeah.
And so going to these events and seeing like high dollar bikes out on rideouts, I'm like, man, I appreciate that you spent all that money and you're actually riding your bike. And it used to be like, you know, you spend all that money because you're going to ride in a straight line, you know? And now I'm like, you know what, man, do you, if it makes you feel like you get a little bit more, relaxing from the society and going back in time by having the bullseye hubs that maybe you didn't have as a kid and now you have them. Dude, I support that 1,000%. You know what I mean? Like maybe that's the fountain of youth. You know what I mean? We found our bikes that physically like take us back, but maybe that's what it is. Building bikes takes you back to the 80s when you were like looking in the shop counter. You're like, one day I'll have bullseye hubs, and now you can do it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Totally, dude. And I was, you know, I mentioned that there was like a bunch of motorcycles there, Harleys and stuff and all kinds of, they had them lined up where you could walk and check them out. And these bikes they reminded me of our bicycles. They were super customed out, custom paint jobs, custom chrome, all these things. I don't know bikes like a lot of guys do. I mean, I know what looks cool and what I like, but I couldn't tell you, oh, that's a 67 Panhead or, you know, whatever. But it's like the amount of time that those guys put in their bikes, bro. And seeing that in the bicycle world, it's just like these guys are—they're showing their expression, and their style, and their ability to make something their own. You know, it's like that's theirs, and no one else has it like this. You know, even though 1,000 people have this same model of bike, mine is mine because look at it. You know, Yeah, so totally. That was cool to me. I love that.
It gave me a rejuvenated outlook on BMX. It definitely helped me feel better about BMX because I was starting to get down for a while there, dude. I'm like, I mean, our ride out, everyone stayed the Copper State. We didn't go on any streets really. And when we did, we stayed to the right. Cactus Cruisers, there was, when I was watching, it was the only time people left the bike lane was when it was safe. But like they would even yell up car or truck or bus.
Yeah.
From the back of the ride out, they would yell like truck. And then you'd kind of look over and then you'd yell truck, you know, so you knew like what was passing and stuff like that. So, that was super cool, but man, yeah, dude, wasn't all swerves. It wasn't all, it was just,
that's what I like about it.
Good times, man.
Yeah.
It was really good times.
Even on the big ride outs, like I'm going to say Stockton's a big local ride out now. I mean, I'm thinking Stockton's like 300 to 500 people, and there's still folks who, and riders who will yell flat, or, you know, when someone breaks down, they stop the ride, you know, and a lot of people are like car, stay to the right. They're still yelling out the, you know, letting people know, hey, there's cars coming, there's this and that. And I don't think you can ever be too big or too small to be considerate of others, to try to keep people safe so they can all enjoy themselves and get to go back home at the end of the ride. And
100%.
You.
So what do you think? We have an interesting show coming up. We're going to record this week. I don't mind giving this one, cause it's the end of the series. It's like, this is our Gregory, bro. This is our Jedi.
When you say shit like that, dude, and I think I'm in trouble.
Oh my gosh. Imagine no.
My mom didn't call me Gregory, but it would be like not Craig. So I'm listening very intently, like,
bro, okay,
bro, am I in trouble?
I just had an infinity.
You had an infinity? I mean, like forever.
No, dude. I meant epiphany.
Okay.
No, dude, for real. Okay, get this.
All right.
We did collaborations one. Yes. Like the early years, like Castles, or I always say Castles and Coasters. And then Todd, I was talking about the other day. I was like, yeah, we did the Castles and Coasters one. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? And I'm like,
you know,
dude, Castles and Coasters is a amusement park in Phoenix. Like, you know, like when a mom and pop owns an amusement park and they make a little coin in the 80s and they upgrade it. And they upgrade, it just gets, you know, like they pump just enough. That's Castles and Coasters, dude. Like, it's not, as far as I know, it's a family owned and operated. Like, I don't think there's multiple, I don't think they franchised this outfit. It's a permanent, here's the way I describe it. It's a permanent carnival.
Yeah.
So it has a roller coaster, but you're like, it's not like when you go on a roller coaster at Great America. Or Six Flags, where you're like, I know I'm going to be scared, but I know their lawyers are really afraid of lawsuits. Right. So that's where I give up my, fear and just go, nothing can touch me because they don't want to pay gazillion dollars in lawyer fees. Now this, have you ever seen Class Action Park?
Hell yeah, I have, dude.
Okay.
Scary,
dude. It's amazing documentary, by the way. Amazing. That is probably,
tell everyone the name of that again. If you guys haven't seen this documentary, it's on YouTube. Go watch this. It, stop listening to us. Go watch this documentary. That, what is it, Isaac?
It's called Class Action Park. And imagine a water slide, like a water slide theme park that was homemade with all the rides made by someone that's not an engineer and just was like, do you want to be cool? Hold my beer. Prime example. I'll give you the first example. They had a water slide that did a 360. Okay. Now I'm just going to,
tell us more, tell the viewers or the listeners more.
If you've watched any of my episodes, where like people tell me like, dude, you get way too like scientific, like you get too scientific about when you're trying to explain inertia and all this stuff. Right.
Right.
Okay.
Now's the time.
Water slides. Yeah. Water doesn't go upside down. And like, unless you're pressure.
sorry, y'all.
Unless you're shooting water down a fire hose, down that chute, that water is not going to flip upside down and continue to carry you in a loop to loop. So
don't you think anybody in line would be like, hey, bro, on that three, if you're in line for the 360 and you're like third back in line and you're thinking, wait a second. Don't you ask them, hey, turn around and go, hey, dude, does water doesn't flow 360, does it? Nah, man. Right. Okay, I'm next.
Or the sneaking suspicion. How come nobody rode down? Another way you can tell a ride safe. When you see the same people that you've been in, like I call them line buddies. People that you're not friends with, you don't talk with, you don't make eye contact with, but you consider family after about like 10 minutes of waiting for like a roller coaster. You're like, okay, this, because you're gauging, you're like, green mouse ears up there has moved two rows. And so that means I can, you're doing air math on the distance of how long it's going to take you to get onto the ride.
Yeah.
So like, yeah.
Okay. You were talking about upcoming interview or show or something. And Craigery was your opening for that.
Yeah. This is our Jedi dude. This is our third trilogy. No, this is the end. This is the bookend. This is our Luke, I'm your father, but the next movie.
On the collabs, right?
Yes. Yes, Craig. Because we did the collab one with the old bikes. Collab two with your favorite bike, Santa Cruz.
Yes, sir.
And we talked about how funny it was that Travis Barker was in Disneyland with 12-year-old D-Blocks, because D-Blocks looked like he was 12.
right.
So we did that collab. Now we're doing the collab. I'm telling people because I want people to know that we have this on the books, because I don't know how Todd's going to legally do this, but it's the collabs that never made it.
Oh boy.
Dude,
we're talking collabs that maybe were designed, maybe have photos out there, maybe have other things that we can take a look at, but never made it to production. Those type of collabs.
Yeah. Now here's where I'm nervous, because we told Todd what we want the topic to be. Last time he went on Instagram and posted a picture of one of the collab bikes that was not supposed to be. And he mentioned it on the first episode where he was like, oh yeah, he mentioned the Tiffany one on the chat. The live chat, he called out that the Tiffany's was a limited edition bike that like they couldn't finalize it, but he has one. So he posted a picture of the box and put it on Instagram and said, "This is the Tiffany and Co. bike that never happened." And then a couple like comments down, it was a dude from like Tiffany's, like a non-disclosure agreement, and then he had to delete the post.
Right.
Do you remember that?
I totally remember that.
So dude, like I was there. So Todd has no filter when it comes to this stuff. So like, I want to be like, hey man, tell me about all the collabs that didn't happen, but don't like, I really need you to keep being the director of SE Bikes. So be careful with what you say.
I want Todd to tell us about all the collabs that didn't happen. Even the ones that he's going to get some lawyer sending him out a letter saying, hey,
come. He has no filter, dude.
No filter. Todd, tell us all about him. It's okay. You're the director of SE. You can smooth it over after. How about that?
Because here's the thing. He's proud of the ones that he did.
Of course.
And, you know, it's fun to say like, what could have been, you know what I mean? Like if we all enjoy that, but then when you hear some of the brands, you're like, oh, that would have been sick. Or, ooh, cringy. I'm glad that one didn't happen.
Yeah. Those are my favorite, right? When you're like, oh, they were thinking about that. What were they thinking?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be any like that. I don't know. I think they're probably very well thought out. And it's like the ones that didn't make it, the question I want to ask like right away is like, why? You know, what was it about that one that didn't get it stamped and approved and out to people's local bike shops.
Yeah. Like how close do we get, how close do we get to, you know, whatever affliction, you know what I mean? Like how close are we to an affliction ripper? You know what I mean? Like before Todd was like, yeah, hard pass.
You probably couldn't figure out who they're going to use for the rhinestones vendor for that one.
Oh my God. That would have been classic. Yeah. But yeah, dude, I'm excited about that episode. That's super psyched about that.
Hey, you know, people have made it this far, Isaac. Should we say anything about who we have coming up on Monday's episode, or do we keep things kind of padded down a little bit?
I say we go for it, man. Tell them.
Yeah, man. We have, you know, we were on Facebook. There was a thread going on, I think, on one of our posts about a guest that we had coming up. I think it was Rick Thorne, and Scott Freeman said, bro, you guys are pumping these out. Good job. You know, it's like you and I have really had a fun time. We've been putting in a lot of work with our interviews and getting guests on the show. So we have more coming up for you guys. Next week, though, you're really going to want to hang out with us on this one. We have...
This is my... I'm going to do my radio announcer voice. A year... in the making, the name you've come to know and love. You guys,
the impossible. This sounds like Friday the 13th, bro.
I know.
Like,
well, I meant to be like something cooler than that. I should have went. Bah, 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 bah. Yeah, dude. I should have done the John Cena.
I was this sounds like a horror flick, man. I don't know.
No, but you guys, this has been a year in the making to get this to happen. And shout out to Mike Buff for helping make this happen. But you guys, everyone knows that I am the president of the Henderson Holler Revival Movement fan club. We don't have a Facebook yet, but it's coming eventually. anytime Todd shows a new bike, I have to write, it's a Henderson Holler. Because the Henderson Holler was my first BMX bike, my first real BMX bike with a free wheel and handbrakes. So I have an affinity for the Henderson Holler. I post that everywhere. I started calling ourselves the Henderson Holler Army. People started sending me listings for Henderson Hollers on eBay. It's really gotten out of hand and it's hilarious.
I was thinking the Henderson Henchman or something like that.
No, dude, the Henderson Holler Army.
Army, I like it. Yeah. You're like the commanding general. I love it.
Yeah, Facebook group coming soon. Nice. But we got the Henderson Holler himself, Toby Henderson. Can you believe that, dude? Toby Henderson.
Man, dude, dreams are coming true for you. You're living a good life, bro.
Scotty Freeman and Toby Henderson.
And Toby Henderson, who, if you guys don't know this, and you'll want to like tune in and catch this show, because not only is Toby a legendary BMXer, and not only is Toby the namesake of the Henderson Holler, but Toby is the founder of Box Industries and Components. So you definitely want to check that out, bro.
Okay, you guys, because so he's expecting a BMX interview. I'm sure of it. We're big bike BMX. I'm sure he's ready for like, let's talk nationals. And then he gets two dumb bastards that are like, remember the Henderson Holler? Dude, you guys, I got so nerdy. I broke out my own personal pictures of me on a Henderson Holler in like 83. You were there, Craig. You saw it. Like, it got bad.
You had to do it.
It got bad. I'm really kind of embarrassed by how fanboy I got to Toby Henderson, because it was a very small, in fact, I will say the BMX part of the interview was just me telling him about how I met him at the track and took a picture on his bike because my mom was pushy. My mom, sit on his bike, son. No, mom, you're embarrassing. Like, mom. Not in front of Toby Henderson.
It's cool, man. It's yeah. that to me, like I said before in other shows, I'm like, I just have a good time. Like, you're my bro, right? I have a good time when you get a chance to talk to someone who you've had like a connection with or an experience or whatever, right? Like,
yeah,
in the past. Now you get them on a show. Like, we're doing a podcast and they're coming on the show. And you can like, literally hold up a photo and go, bro, I sat on your bike because my mom asked you if I could. And she pulled out the Polaroid and snapped this awesome photo. Check it out. And they're like, oh, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Me and my white ass beard looking at someone else, making them feel old. Because I'm like, when I was 12, and then look at me now. You know what I mean? I'm like, they're like, who is this? Like, tattooed Santa Claus with not cats on his neck.
Not cats.
But yeah, dude, like it was fun to talk with him. Dude, here's you guys, here's the pressure I'm under. I cannot return this favor to Craig because at this point, there are only two guests that like there's one guest like that. I've had two. I've had Scott Freeman, I've had Toby Henderson. The only other person that was on my list of like have to talk to bucket list guests was Martin Aperio. And that dude straight up was like, thanks, but no thanks. He was very cool about it, but he was very like, yeah, I'm just going to listen. I'm good.
Yeah.
And so now for Craig, you guys, this is where I'm screwed. Craig's To Die For interview would be Ron Wilkerson, who is a one writer that is still around, Ron Wilkerson, that also has zero social media, like doesn't have a Facebook that I know of, doesn't have an Instagram that I know of, has no way for me to contact good old Ron, like we're buddies, to get him to interview. Because I think he would. I think like, I don't think he would be like, nah, man, that sounds like a horrible time. I think he would dig talking to a couple of fellows like you and I.
I'd be down, dude. Of course. I mean, that would be awesome. I can say that I've met Ron. I've had a chance to hang out with him a little bit. He won't remember, but he'll definitely remember where we hung out. Because his buddy, one of his buddies, Rich Avella, owns a coffee house in like El Cerrito, Albany, California area. And Rich had Ron out and RL for a book signing for Birth of the Freestyle Movement where I got to meet Ron. So, but to have him on the show, dude, yeah, it's a wish list item. So maybe one day, if anybody out there knows, I mean, I know, you know, Ron has a coffee house or I don't know if it's a coffee house or kind of like a organic food shop or something in Santa Cruz.
It's a hippie market. Yeah. Like you go in and get like the hippie yogurt stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, man, I'd love to have him on the show. If you guys are out in Santa Cruz, you know where Ron's shop is. Definitely give him a little nudge and tell him that one of his biggest fans is out there and wants to hang out on the show or any other place would be
Craig.
Cool. I'll just go ride with him.
You had to go with that answer. You could have been like, nah, man, it's cool if you never get Ron Wilkerson. I didn't really want to talk to him in the first place.
Yeah.
Didn't get that answer.
Probably not.
Damn. So, all right. Well, maybe he's out listening to the podcast with Martin Aperio right now.
That would be dope.
It could happen.
You never know.
But yeah, dude, I'm excited. Toby Henderson talks about, we don't really talk a whole lot about his BMX career. We do talk about like his companies. I think that was the most fascinating part was just like, here's a dude that has been in two wheel sports like your whole life. You know what I mean? Like you just, you got on a bike and just never stopped. You know what I mean? And even when you're not racing, like you're building the parts that are shaping the future. Cause I mean, dude, everyone runs like Fox cranks and box cranks and box forks. When you go to the BMX races, like it's just, you see a lot of people riding that stuff, man. It's popular. It's a good brand. I have the levers on my Big Ripper.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think one of the best things, everyone has their own unique story. Obviously, we're all individuals, but you know, when I hear someone who has been in BMX since they could walk or ride or whatever. And they've done it their whole life, you know, BMX to mountain biking to motocross. Now you're running a company that you're providing back, like you said, like innovation, creativity, components that we can all use on our bikes. And that's something that you came up with through your experiences from being in the sport. And now we get to enjoy the benefits of you taking all of that and making stuff that we can use. I think it's super cool. It's a great story. Yeah. You guys are going to want to hang out with us and Toby and tell your friends about it too, man. We would love to get more and more people involved with the show and hanging out with us, man. Isaac and I are definitely down for a lot more fun and a lot more good times hanging out with all of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dude, Box is like the rider-owned company that like leveled up. You know what I mean? Like it's not like a, like it didn't just stop. Like the growth is still there, I guess is what I'm saying. Where you see some rider-owned companies are like, we just make hubs or we just do frames. But they went the other way. We're like, we're going to outfit your bike and make it dialed.
Totally. And one of the best thing, well, what I like best about our show and our conversation with them was like how that all got started. Like there was a moment, you called it the affinity or infinity mm-hmm. or epiphany that he the had epiphany? That yeah. created his, yeah, the epiphany, bro. That got his whole business started. If you will, right? Yeah. So like, I have an idea about something and I'm going to make these. And then next thing a awesome company started an awesome.
Yeah. It's like a whole industry. It's really crazy. Hot,
you know?
Yeah. Industry, all right. You guys.
For sure, bro.
Dude, Craig, thanks for hanging out. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the tips that I didn't follow on my first ride out. Thank you to the Cactus Cruisers for the ride out that we just had this weekend. We had just a blast. We had a blast. And also Copper State BMX, Gilbert, thanks for doing what you do. So, and thank you to all of our fans for hanging out. I love each and every one of you.
Same here, man. I want to give up another shout out again to everyone out at the Port City Wheelie crew. Out in the 209 Stockton area, man. Thank you so much for always being so welcoming and having me come out and be a part of the Peace Day event, participating in my Big Bike BMX episode about what to expect on your first ride out, to everybody who participated with that. It's always good times meeting new people and hanging out in Stockton, man. And, one of the things that I want to say is like, if you guys are listening right now, if you made it this far through the show, if you are a part of a ride out in Northern California, Central Valley, Southern California, that you're having a good time with and you think I might enjoy, hit me up, send me a DM at 80s BMX Craig on Instagram and let me know what's going on with your scene. Who knows? Maybe I'll just pop down and come hang out with you guys. I want to meet new people, see new sights, and have a good time. So that's something that's really on my to-do list this year, is to get out and hang out with your scene and see what it's all about. So yeah, hit me on the DMs and let me know what's up if you think you got something I might enjoy.
Dude, that's so dope, Craig. I'm excited, man. Have fun on that. You guys get Craig to come out to your ride out so then I can live through him and his footage. It's a jam.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, you guys. Craig, can you send us out, brother?
Yeah, man. Hey, like always, you guys, thank you for hanging out with Isaac and I here at Big Bike BMX. We love the fact that you take your time to hang out with two dudes just chilling and hanging out and talking about whatever comes up, mostly bikes, mostly BMX, but you never really know. Check us out on Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's West Coast time. So do the math if you live in the Midwest or on the East Coast or anywhere else.
The other part.
Another part. Right. We love to have you there. But Monday nights has kind of been our jam for a while now. Isaac and I also are doing our streaming podcast on all of your favorite platforms when you're not in front of the YouTube and being able to watch there. So thanks again, everyone. Tell your friends. We'd love to, like I said, love to get more people involved, want to get more subscribers, more listeners, more people to interact with us that are liking the same things and talking about the same things that Isaac and I are doing and talking about. So yeah, let's keep the party going. We've got a lot of rad things that are lined up and continuing to happen here at Big Bike BMX. Check us out on bigbikebmx.com if you want to see what merch is available, what latest and greatest things we got coming out. And yeah, Isaac, man, thank you for hanging out with us, dude.
Oh, you know what? I sent you a package today, by the way. If you look in your email, you'll have a tracking number for me. I sent you the new Big Bike BMX camo, the vintage camo shirt. And our new show sponsor, Schmucked Up Beard Products. I sent you some samples that they sent me, and I want to know what you think about it.
I can't wait to get all of that stuff, dude. Thank you so much, man. You know I love new shirts and new hats and all that stuff. And the beard product, bro.
Yeah.
I'm down. I can't wait.
Here's the thing, you guys. Craig and I have an agreement, and we have a trust thing that keeps us both honest. So I believe in Schmucked Up Beard Products. Now, before we say, hey, this is greatest thing ever, I need to get Craig to sign off and say, you know what? He trusts it. He likes it. That's just the way that he is. It's the way I am. So I'm not going to get into this long thing about why I like them. I'm just going to tell you, I personally like them. I can't wait for you to experience their like beard products. I think you're going to be impressed. And well, then we'll talk about it.
Well, I'll definitely give you my true and honest feedback like I do with everything else. So can't wait for that, bro. Thank you for thinking of me and sending that out.
Yep. So I want to thank our show sponsored, our sponsors, Crushed MX Gloves, Rideout Supply, Phoenix Bike Company, Night Bike Company, Old Bones Therapy, and hopefully it'll be Schmucked Up as long as Craig likes what they do. But for now,
let's not forget about Etnies shoes in there.
Oh, and Etnies, right? Dude. How did I miss Etnies? God damn it.
That's okay, man. That's what I'm here for. That's I'm what
reading,
you're here for.
I'm literally reading like the podcast show notes. And well, you can pencil
that one right in there with it. So yeah, all those people are so great. If you guys, you know, definitely check out all those brands. It's people that we support and support us because we just love what they're doing and we use their products, man. It's not something that we're just telling you about so you can, I was going to say, go out and just, you know, check out. Really, Isaac and I use all of that stuff. So go check them out.
I'm too old to ride or use a product just because they're like, hey, I'll help your show. We get lots of that stuff.
Yeah. But
I'm too old to deal with that, to be honest with you, dude. Like,
I don't, same here, like, bro.
What are we going to make? $4? Yeah, I'm good.
No.
You know what I mean? So anyway, you guys, appreciate you listening. Everyone out there working today, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Check us out on YouTube. Craig, I'll never do the outro again. I'm telling you, there's a reason you do this. Can you send us off the right way with that YouTube video, please? Please tell me that's still up or that you can find it.
Well, you know, I think it is, Isaac. I have to bring it up. You want the...
I need you to fix it.
Wait, you want the same outro? I mean, you want the same music?
Same music, but let's just talk about how the show went tonight.
Well, man, let me tell you something. Yo, we want to thank everybody for hanging out at Big Bike BMX. Isaac Irvine, 80s BMX Craig, had a good time talking to all y'all. So glad you were with us. Couldn't think of anyone better to hang out with. That's right. Keep it smooth. Have fun. And we'll see you soon.
Hey girl, ain't no mystery. At least.
Did you miss your calling, Craig? You missed your calling.
Oh, man. I hope that was everything you ever wanted, dude.
Dude, you play guitar too?
And
I'm thinking Jingle Factory right here is what we, bro, man. you could be the next John Denver. No, Barry Manilow. That, do you know how much money that dude makes off of jingles?
Barry Manilow. Is Barry still alive? I mean, whatever. He made a ton of dough off jingles, bro.
Dude, now I feel
if
bad.
If I can go a couple octaves lower, I could be like a Barry White. You know, I'd be like,
you're close, dude. Yeah, you got the golden pipes, bro.
You think so?
Yes, you can.
I just need maybe some auto tuning or something, you know, something that can just, you know, take me over the top. Cause I don't know if I have it.
Not at all, dude. Craig Gregory, you have it in you to be a radio jingle guy.
Well, thank you, Isaac. Thank you for all the compliments on this show tonight. Again, I want to thank all of our listeners. Thank you all for showing up here on Big Bike BMX. You know, this is where the magic happens. And then some. That's right. Bikes, whatever you want to talk about. Big Bike BMX.
Hey, girl, ain't no mystery.
Man, I got to tell you, dude. You were the radio DJ I hated though as a kid. Because when you're trying to record the whole song for your routine.
Right.
Because you don't have enough money to go buy the whole tape, but like you know that you're practicing your Flatland sesh, you know, to like a Spurton song. And then like you time it, dude. You time the whole thing, but the whole front end of that song, dude, is front loaded with like, make sure you head out to, you know, like Church's Tacos this weekend because the whole street team's going to be there from this time to this time. B93, the Valley's FM hot music station. And then the music would start, right? And you're like, man. So like you couldn't even use that tape. That meant you just had to buy a legitimate tape for your routine.
Right. They spoke right up until the point of the lyrics kicking in, right?
Yep. Dude, yeah. Right up to it, man. They were so golden. Well, okay. I'm just going to leave this recording because this is where Craig and I actually have a lot of fun. Well, I don't know. I'll probably, if this goes like our usual conversations, like I'll edit it out. But
all right,
dude. So did you see the thread on the freestyling page? It was like, it was basically like every 80s Flatland routine started with ...
The music,
and it
right?
was, and people were just like posting. And I was like, bring the song up, dude.
I did see it and I noticed you chimed in right away because I was like, oh, Isaac's going to get in on this.
Yeah.
So what song did you play again? Or what was your...
Look up Art of Noise.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that song. All right. And so that was...
Art of Noise Beatbox.
Art of Noise Beatbox?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Let me check
it. Share it with audio.
Yeah. Let me... go ahead and set us up and tell us a little bit more. I'm going to get this set up so
gets through the ads
yeah. and stuff.
Okay, you guys. So anybody, if you were a Flatland rider in the mid 80s, I promise you went to an AFA contest and heard this song at least 8 times. Might be back to back. Every Flatland song ever.
All right. You ready for it, dude?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
It's gonna go. So this song, dude, keep going. But this song, dude, was like, imagine someone hopping on their pegs, cherry picking everything.
Not stoked.
But there's like halfway through, it'll be like, I can't make the noises with my mouth. I'm not even gonna try it. But when it pops up, I'll be like, this part right here is the best part.
Yeah.
That part right there, even now. That's like,
all right.
That beat right there, dude. Timeless. Okay, so that was one of the main songs, and then BC Boys, Girls, or Brass Monkey,
interchangeable.
Brass Monkey.
Okay.
Although shout out to Drop who rode to Girls at the Sacramento ABA show.
Oh, did you hear the beginning of it?
I did.
Yeah, right here, dude. 1987.
Brass
this song was good because it gave you time to like pause and like play to the crowd. And then during this part, you'd be doing like your hard trick, like your combos. So there you go. Those are the two biggest like that I could think of when it came to like the Flatland scene.
Dude, that was awesome.
Or that song, Come Go With Me. Come Go With Me.
Mm-hmm.
That song, yeah. What is that? Who sings that? Exposé.
Exposé sings it. Hopefully it doesn't have ads, but...
Let's talk about time to rain his face.
That's only a few more seconds.
Fine. Yeah, just play it. You're good.
Oh, good.
Just go all with right. it. Yeah.
Timeshares love them because they increase...
Free ad. Like free ad. Okay. This was definitely...
And if you didn't do it, freestyle.
It is, dude. And here's the thing. If you didn't do it at the, like for your AFA show, you definitely did this when it was like, you went down to the local like great festival and say, can we do a BMX show as part of your festival? And they're like, can your parents sign a waiver? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, okay. So like, then you're like, you had to form a freestyle team, like an official freestyle team.
Right.
Did you ever do that? Did you ever start your own freestyle team?
No.
Bro.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
Coming up. Chorus is good too. Good freestyle. Nice,
man, they
dude.
Don't ride them like they used to. One more.
All right.
You spin me round.
Oh, dead or alive.
They sang Brand New Lover too?
Yep.
Did you used to think it said Brand New Rubber? I did.
What'd you think they said?
Brand new rubber. Like brand I'm going to get rubber. Myself, I got a new lover. I need a brand new rubber.
Well, you know, sometimes you'll just need brand new rubber.
We used to always do that when we were kids, man. We would like make up new lyrics for songs.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. And then you sing them for the rest of your life all messed up, right?
Dude, yeah. Yeah. I can't sing Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Relax.
All right.
You guys, the 80s were just fucking better. I'm just going to say it. The 80s were just better.
They're way better.
Dude, sure, we have cars that are electric and all that, but
technology's cool, but the era was better, man.
Oh, better clothes, better watches.
Yeah.
I saw someone got a Swatch today. I was so jealous.
Man. Jelly.
Hella jelly. All right, you guys. We really are going to end it now, so. We'll see you later. I feel bad even doing the bum, 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 bum.
No, you got it, man.
Da, 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 da. Bum, bum, bum. I did it like a whisper.
You're like, it's like the kids are sleeping in the tent, and you're like doing your broadcast right there, and you're like, okay, hold on. Bum, bum, bum,
bum. Hey, babe, I'm podcasting. You know what I mean, dude?
The kids are sleeping, Isaac. Can you try to do the last part quietly? Okay, guys, here we go. Ba, ba, da, ba. And then I go.